for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist position podcast. Over 50 years of playing PlayStation, in like 15 years in that game's meeting. But I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This Easter PlayStation conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to join us in future conversations, you can come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist. Now, a fun moment, Max, that the Twitch people got to experience is I press record, and then 18 seconds later, that's when we start chatting. And you finally, after fuck knows how many weeks, months, years even, you're like, why is it 18 seconds? I'm like, because timestamps are lazy and I don't want to do the hard work. And then you went, oh, I guess that, I assume that's okay? Is this kind of like what your response I got? Because I'm not changing it.
No, that's fine. You do you.
Yeah. How are you, dude?
I'm glad you don't meticulously rewatch the show. You should put in like fucking perfectly timestamps.
Look, the tens of views that we get, the effort, the amount of effort we put in now is way more than we should. Like, I reckon, actually, no, we're already, I don't want to get less views. Like, I'm not going to fucking change anything. Just like, oh, I feel like I'm doing too much. It's the exact opposite, really. I probably could do more. Really, I do as what is appropriate, which itself hinders. I'm sure if there was more effort and we did like shorts and TikToks and shit, probably get like, I don't know, some more views, seeing as we are, you know, the only number one, the only currently ongoing PlayStation podcast made in Australia. That should give us some credibility, but it also just demonstrates our stubbornness, I suppose.
How's your week been?
Oh, I just wanted to see how long we keep that dead air for, just to be like, once again, minimal effort. Absolutely minimal effort.
No, I can't do it.
No, I'm good, man. My week's been really, really good. You said Easter. It's an Easter weekend show. It is not. It is a WrestleMania weekend show. It's WrestleMania weekend. Two nights of wrestling, or two mornings for us here in Australia. Sunday and the Monday fell on Easter weekend. I really appreciate the alleged Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for aligning their death to match WrestleMania weekend, which also changes every year, just like WrestleMania. So which is a better religion? It's up to you, I suppose. But Max, you even dabbled in the WrestleManias this year.
Yeah, well, I woke up early with Ollie, and he likes flashing nonsense. And
as do I.
What's more flashy and nonsense than WrestleMania?
Okay, before we jump into that, because I want to hit on it. So Phoebe, she'd just been camping with her family for the weekend. It was like she had lovely, complete sensory declutter. She packs down, drives in the car for 2 hours, pretty chill trip. Comes inside, same experience. Walks in the lounge room. I've got my TV lights. The fucking Atmos is like up as, you know, pretty fucking loud. Shit's flashing everywhere. She's like, there's a whole lot of stimulus. So I can understand where Ollie's coming from, because she looked pretty knocked in the fucking guts for a hot sec. Did he enjoy the flashing lights?
Oh, I don't know. To be honest with you, I was in and out of sleep on the couch. just chilling. But he didn't do what he usually does, which is smacks you in the face with the TV remote if he doesn't like what's on the television. So that didn't happen. So,
that's good to know.
Yeah. Small man.
Yeah. But he did make me laugh, though. I'd mentioned this before we started the recording, but Max, not a wrestling fan, right? And that's fine. I am a huge fan. Who would have thought? There's a character by the end of, he's an individual by the name of Jey Uso. His current tagline is, you know, main event, Jey Uso. Minor challenge that Max rightly pointed out. He opened the night one. He was the first on, not main event. Now, granted, in the moment, I did not wish to explain to Max that, hey, in the world of wrestling, obviously the main event is the most important spot. But second to that is the opener, right? Because you're setting the scene for the entire show. That seemed like I don't want to have to explain that because Max was...
Look, you're
also technically correct. And that is the best kind of correct. And I felt bad arguing because I'd be like, that's true, but... And that is dumb because that's what it would have to be. So what were you saying before I was reaffirming your correctness?
Oh, just that, you know, you either are or you're not. Also, when do they just randomly walk down the stairs of the stadium? Like, what was that about?
Oh, it's kind of, it's something that Jay does. There's a couple of acts that have done it in the past, and the imagery that they're trying to elicit is that they're someone of the people, right? They're like, they're this superstar, this godlike individual, but they walk among us.
That seems like a great way to get stabbed.
That's true. I am sure at some point someone has been jacked up in like an indie show. So they're like, hey, woo, coming from the crowd, stab. WWE commonly don't stab anyone in the aisles, in the bleachers. In recent years, I could say confidently. I don't know, like the 90s are pretty wild. The Attitude Era was fucked up. Like, shit happened.
So I watched like maybe, I want to say,
5 minutes in and out of sleep.
Maybe like 10, 15 minutes.
Whoa, sold you short. Sorry, Max.
Look, I didn't see the entire thing. Actually, yeah, no, I did. What was it? I saw some slaps, some kicks, lots of what appeared to be random frog legs in the air. And then all of a sudden, the guy who won was the guy who was clearly pinned on the mat. But the other dude on top of him tapped out for some reason.
Because he was
no, but okay. Isn't it shoulders?
He had one cranked up because he had him in the choke.
I don't know how like cranked up can one man's shoulders be if he's lying on his back.
I love your assessments of wrestling. It's always fun for me. Always.
And then this morning I saw Rippers get slapped in the face, and then Ellie's like, no, fuck off.
She's like, I'm not watching any of this. This is horrible.
Yep.
Oh, that's amazing.
That was my WrestleMania weekend.
Well, mine was a lot nicer, actually. So for myself, you know, as everyone knows, like my son lives between my house and his mum's house, my ex-wife's house. And this year for Easter, we transition 1 year on, 1 year off. This year it's my turn, so he woke up with us on Sunday morning, which was fantastic because that was WrestleMania night one morning. Don't think about it too hard. So he was really, really happy, as I discussed last week. And you know, my son has a new friend who's a big wrestling fan, so he's kind of got some cool little social cred because of my love of wrestling and we're working in the space. So we had his friend come over and join us. James was so happy just to share it with his mate, and I was happy to share it with them. And pardon me. And yeah, Millie, my ex-wife, she joined us. She joined us for both mornings as well, as did our good friend Craig. Phoebe did arrive late because of being camping, but once she came, she was still back end of it. So we just watched it again, and it was fine because it was just both nights are pretty good. The main event of night one was by far superior than everything else on the show. Night two, all of the matches throughout the show were probably better than the main event, which is a challenge because the main event was, yeah, John Cena versus Cody Rhodes. John Cena won, became the 17th time heavyweight champion, now breaking the record for the most amount of championships ever in a run. In someone's career, I should say, in WWE. And he's a bad guy. So it's really fun now to see what will happen on Raw tomorrow. That'd be exciting.
Did he say he was retiring this year?
Yes, he's retiring in December. So that's his current angle is that he has and always will be the real champion, and he will leave with this belt. At the end of this year, when he leaves, the belt's not going anywhere. It's staying on him, and he's taking it with him.
Well, that's clearly not.
Which is
a bold
thing to say in April when December is quite a far away. And when someone else writes the stories for you, he could be full of shit. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, it was pretty good. Paul Heyman turned against both CM Punk and Roman Reigns and sided with Seth Rollins for the first time. Paul Heyman turned against everybody.
Look, the last time I remember seeing Paul Heyman, he was with Brock Lesnar. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, he turned against him too once, yeah. Paul Heyman's a little get around, that Paul Heyman. He's that little devil in your ear hole that probably fingers your bum hole and tells you to do bad things.
Hot.
It's pretty hot. But yeah, it was pretty good. For me, there was a couple moments, though, that I really enjoyed. Like, when we were watching the main event of Night 1, I was sitting on the ground at the end of my couch, and James, my son, came and sat with me, sat between my legs. We had a little schnug while we were watching the main event. And it was fun because he was getting all excited. He was getting those little, like, body movements when, like, cool shit was happening, people getting slammed. He's like, ooh, ooh. And I'm like, oh, like, he's getting into it. And it was a really cool moment to share. Which it was really, really nice. It's one of those things where I hope that, like, you know, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, wherever, you know, he's sitting back, and whether he's a wrestling fan or not, he's like, man, I remember, you know, Dad and I used to sit around and watch wrestling together, and it was really fun, and I enjoyed it, and it was a nice experience. That's what I hope, right? That's something we hope in the hobbies that we have, and includes things like gaming. As we get into the second, what we've been playing this week. Max, you're creating those memories yourself with your wife, Ellie, as you've rolled credits, finally.
Yeah, we finally rolled credits on Split Fiction. Oh, what a game. The back end was fun.
Mm-hmm.
They turned the dial up to 11 and went, you know, let's fucking have some fun with this.
So when we were discussing last week, I didn't want to, like, give you any spoilers about what the back end of that game is, our final act, and how there are moments where you look at it and you go, how the hell is this technically possible? Did you have that same experience?
Yep.
Yeah.
And I was also super. So, for most of this game, Ali and I have been playing with Hadley sitting on the couch, backseat gaming. It's been a fucking nightmare. Mm-hmm. Because she thinks we know all the answers to the questions, despite the fact that we've never fucking played this game before.
Oh, as my kid, when I would watch a movie or anything, like, what's happening, Daddy? Well, who's that? I'm like, I don't fucking know.
So, there's been times where we've gotten really frustrated with her. We're like in, like, mid-boss fight, and she says the randomest shit and gets us killed. It's like, dude, like, we don't fucking know. Can we just finish this section first, then we'll come back and explain to you? So, I'm super glad that she was in bed for this whole segment.
This
would be chaos. We'd be fucked. Like, Ali was tripping balls as it was. So, yeah, glad Hadley wasn't around for that. There were some really cool sections in the back end that I don't even know how Ali and I completed them. I saved a 5-minute clip of us doing what I've dubbed the cat dog centipede section.
Oh, I got really mad, like, at the game in that section.
We'll see. Ali and I realized that momentum's totally a thing, so we just fucking flung ourselves across the maps. And just randomly, like, latched on when we needed to, and then we just fucking zing it straight away.
You've got to send me this money to see this.
I don't even know how we actually did it. We just fucking went like full speed. The back end really is where the character development falls in place. Bizarrely. For the longest time, nothing happens with the characters until the very end when you reach that subconscious level. And you kind of learn all their deep, dark secrets.
Yeah.
The end boss was super generic, which is a shame. It was probably the biggest letdown of the game. But I get where they were coming from with it. Like, it makes sense, but they could have done something.
Would it be a commentary, as we discussed last week, would it be a commentary on AI? Isn't it kind of interesting that they've intentionally made it super boring and generic?
Yeah. The game's great. It's fucking solid. Top contender for my game of the year.
I was gonna, my follow-up question was going to be, is this in that game of the year space?
You know, granted, April. Lots of things to come. But like It Takes Two before it, the way we judge our game of the year is for completely arbitrary and...
completely subjective how we feel. Not just, was it a good game? Was it, did we love it? What was our memory? Like, it's completely our...
And yeah, and because it was a game that I essentially played with the entire family.
Yeah.
It's a bit biased. But the game is fucking sweet.
Well, that's a very good point. Like, I played most of it with my... Well, I played all of it with my son, but also most of it with my partner, Phoebe, like, you know, joining us and being part of the experience. So, yeah, it was a full family game. Damn.
Hard to beat those.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. It's exactly like why, you know, in objectively, some of this WrestleMania, not that good. But subjectively, it was awesome. I had, like, everyone that's important to me in one space.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
I set it up and you fucking hit it out. Plus, I knew you would have hated it the entire time. Otherwise, I totally would have had you mod you. But
I was busy all day yesterday trying to fix my car as a non-car dude.
Oh, shit. No, fuck that. Well done.
My car wouldn't start. So I'm like, I wonder if it's the battery. Jump started. No, nope, it's not that. Could be this. And just started taking shit apart and putting it back together. And now it mysteriously works. I'm not even kidding.
I don't even know how you put your car back together. That's
Took all the cases off, checked the spark plugs, pulled the fuel line out, checked that. Nothing was coming through. I'm like, that's awkward. Put that back in, changed the fuses around for my... my fuel injectors and my fuel pump, and then the car just turned on. I'm like, sweet.
Well, seeing as everything you've just listed, I have no idea where they are in my car. You are a slightly, if not quite a large difference in car dude to me.
Found out that my fuel pump is actually located underneath the back seat in my car.
Oh, that's good to know.
So if I ever smell petrol in my car, I can assume that there's a fucking leak.
Probably a safe bet.
What else have you been playing?
I myself have really not been playing a whole too much. I like a look at my thing. I've did a little bit more indie, but not much to really report about since we last recorded. Hey, Josh LaRoss is here in the chat. How are you, sir? Thank you for joining. We still got to organize a chat, like what we're gonna fucking chat about in a little side thing. Mute in the chat jumps in and goes, understand machinery issues, phoned old, had to replace the whole thing. Our phone was old. Speaking of, I'm really close to the end of my fucking phone contract. Oh, I can't wait to pay substantially less on my phone, by the way. Real something. But look, I myself, not a whole lot. This week has been pretty much preparing for Mania, watching wrestling, hanging with the fam, doing our newly continued Star Wars watch along. This week was Phantom Menace, and holy fuck, is that movie so much more boring than I remembered. I used to love it dearly, even the slow parts. It's pretty unbearable, actually. It was quite difficult to experience, actually. And apart from the pod racing, which is still fucking cinema, and the Duel of the Fates, ooh. Duel of the Fates. What an incredible score. What an incredible scene. Everything else, fucking shit. Like, it was probably a little too real. I probably shouldn't be watching a movie about trade disputes right now. It feels so painfully relevant. It was rough. But in terms of games I've been playing, the outside of... you know, my usual WWE, as I said, getting excited for WrestleMania, have continued to play Schedule 1 with my dear friend Craig. We've been playing this game sort of like fun, you know, as we said, a little silly drug sim game. Craig, however, has taken it to a next level. He has gone off, watched videos, finding out all those tips and tricks, And then today we play a little bit this afternoon. He goes, I have a plan. Sort this out. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, you've been doing stuff. You do what you got to do. Next thing you know, we have in this entirely automated weed setup. Grow, support, water, harvest, mix with whatever the fuck shit we need to do to make it better and stronger and more addictive. That step, getting it packed. I then come in, pick it up, run it down, take some of it myself because it gives me the ability to be more sneaky so cops don't see me. It makes me really fast and I can jump really high. So I'm like, fantastic. And then I just like literally Superman fly, jump, leap tall buildings in a single bound, jump, drop a jar of weed on this dude's face, jump, go see Peggy, that bitch, and then I throw some weed at her, and then I clicked all this money and I come back. Fantastic gameplay experience. Right now we're saving money to build a meth lab. I'm very excited for that. Now that our weed is being all, you know, is it automated, it's looking after itself. Yeah, I want to take that next step up, make ourselves some crystal, make some real money, I presume. This game's fun as fuck, Max. Like, it is essentially, like, especially when it came to the staff management, and because you have to, setting them up to do things is kind of like building an Excel formula. It's if this, do this. Mm-hmm. If not, do that. If that's done, then go do this. And so you essentially build like one of those, whatever those fucking yes, no.
Mind map?
A mind map, kind of. Not the word I'm looking for, but I'll go with mind map. So you have the little branch and trees that like follows those, like essentially like protocol.
Like a right? flow chart?
Flow chart! That's the word I wanted. Thank you. Like a fucking flow chart. Oh, I could not get that word out of my head. I was in there. But yeah, it builds like a flow chart, which makes it really fun. And then one got confused by a bin, so I had to change some things a little bit. But it is a stack of fun. Stack of fun. However, it has been enlisted in some controversy this week. I don't think I discussed it last week. The team behind Drug Dealer Simulator, a series that I love, they are actually suing the single dev of Schedule 1 for like infringement. And it's... I said in my discussion last week, oh, this is like just a reskin version of Drug Dealer Simulator. So clearly there's like, a lot of reason to connect that to. A little bit shitty on their part. Just putting it out there. But absolutely valid.
Oh, well,
but you know what? Yeah,
they just have to start patenting shit and be like, we got you.
Yeah, but doesn't it kind of go against being a drug? Like, that's a game about doing illegal shit. Oh, you're doing something illegal, meh. Does seem counterproductive. Game is very fun though. Very, very fun. I like it a lot. Other than that, I don't think I've played shit. I downloaded Blueprints, however, but I know you've spent some time with that.
I have been playing Blueprints, and what a game. So essentially the premise of Blueprints is one of your old rich family members have died and has left everything to you on the provision that you find the 64th room in his 63 room mansion.
Okay.
So essentially it is a roguelite puzzle game. You start the day with, I think it's 50 steps. Each time you enter a room, it costs you one step.
Okay.
And you have to build out this mansion. You have a grid that's essentially three rows of just fucking massive columns. And you select one of three rooms as you open a door. Some rooms are dead ends. Some rooms have extra doors that will lay out the map for you, and essentially you go around collecting items. Anything that you find in the mansion cannot be taken from the mansion or brought back into the mansion. You are not allowed to spend the night in the mansion. You must leave at the end of each day, and you have to fill out this house and find the secret 64th room. It is immensely fun.
Damn.
I haven't gotten very far. I'm on like day 20, I can't get past a certain part. I keep like fucking up my layout, and that screws you over if you fuck your layout.
The layout changes every time, right? It's the roguelike part, right?
Yeah. But like, so let's say I'm using the...
So is it roguelike or roguelite?
Mm,
as in like, is there anything that transfers between rounds?
No. There, well, yes and no. So there is a special room called the coat check room where you can store one item. And then if you find the coat check room on the next day, you can then pick that back up and continue your journey with it. There are some things that I think do... I think that are permanent. But essentially, like, for instance, if you put a room that has four exits, let's say, but it's against the wall of the thing, you've locked yourself out of a room. Like, you've just wasted one of the doors that you could have placed. Mm. So you've got to be mindful of, you know, not blocking other paths that you've already created, not... double dipping on some rooms, making sure that you put the dead end rooms where they should be, stuff like that. Because each room will also give you a benefit. So it could be there is a gold coin in this room.
One sec, sorry. You mentioned about where you put them. So do you get to decide what rooms are behind each door?
Yes. So when you click on a door that doesn't have a room behind it, you'll get a choice of three rooms.
Oh. And then you place the room
there. So you could be, so for instance, one of the rooms is a closet. So that's a dead end room. But in the closet, there's two random items. Or it could be a corridor. So it's just a straight through. It's the door you're walking into and the door you can exit through on the other side. It could be a bedroom. The bedrooms give you 10 steps back because you can have a nap, recover some energy. Oh,
shit. Okay.
It is. Each room tells you what the benefit is before you place it, and then you have to pick the best of the three for that location.
So there is a correct answer. Like, it's not roguelike entirely in that, as in, like, you, it's not, every room's not random. Like, every room is random, but it can still be built in such a way that you will get the correct answer, quote unquote.
I guess.
But you know what I mean? Like, normally, like most games where you hit that level and it's like the next rooms could be whatever the fuck I want it to be. We know in five levels it'll be a boss, but up until there, it's fucking up to you. Where here, it seems like, no, there is a right path for this seed, I guess. But you can still fuck with it.
Maybe. Mm. I've never made it very far. I'm on like day 20 something.
It's caught my attention. Because the problem with roguelikes is that they don't have a clearly defined path outside of boss.
Well, there's no combat in this. This is just a puzzle game.
This just feels like, even though the run is different every time, quote unquote, there is still an answer.
Well, I mean, maybe, because that would imply that there's some runs that are just doomed to fail because you're not going to get the same three rooms as your first pick each time.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that makes RNG fucking brutal. Brutal.
Yeah.
But it could be fun. It does make you pretty powerless, though, over the mansion, which I think, and depending, once again, I'm not knowing the premise of the game outside of what you've explained to me. Like, is the premise of the game that it wants to fuck with you?
Yeah.
I don't know. Sorry, I know I've absolutely focused on the wrong part, but that just interestingly caught my attention.
It is really fun.
Shit, that does sound like, really fucking fun. Damn it.
That'd be good. You could also totally play it as a team. Like, if you've got a group of people, you could sit down and be like, hey, what room do you think we could do next? Coming from a group of people who played fucking Balatro as a team, like, I think you could easily do this.
We absolutely did that. It was fucking fun.
You could easily, or much more easily, do this. Like, hey, which room should we put next? Like, and thought process it out with other people.
God damn it. Damn it. I like that a lot, actually. I like that a lot.
And you got to remember, each time you backtrack through a door, because you can obviously go through the rooms that you've already seen, that's one step you've taken, and you only get 50 steps for a day. So each time you suboptimally place and route things and you have to go back and backtrack through old rooms, that's costing you resources that you can't use to move forwards.
And obviously, and so you only have, every run it's only ever 50. No give, no, apart from, unless you have an item within your closet.
There's some items that I've come across, is like, you know, every other step doesn't count. But like, if you get like the guest bedroom, for instance, is a room, it's a dead end room, but it gives you 10 steps back.
Instead of like five.
Yeah, but it gives it to you each time you enter that room.
Fuck. I really like that. That sounds a whole lot of fun. I imagine I'll like it and then get really mad at it, but I like it in premise.
It's on PlayStation Plus.
I've already got it downloaded, man. When they said it was a big puzzle game, like a big escape room, I didn't think it was quite like this.
It's cool. The best way I've described it is for people who are really big board game nuts, it's like Betrayal on House of the Hill. So each time you move to a different thing, you're flipping over a new room, and that room is completely random to... Yeah. But you can only... The way the house is set up is it's three rooms across and then just long.
Like a big long manor, as you said.
But the rooms will orient themselves to fit properly. So like if you go through the first door, so in the first room it's always a door to your left, door straight, door to the right. If you put a door to the left and you get a closet, it's not going to face the wrong way. It's going to face the correct, it's going to have the correct orientation so you can move through. Okay.
All right.
But some rooms will be like an L-shaped corridor. And then you could just, if you L-shape the corridor, you could block off your left path if you're going through the middle. So you have to be mindful of what rooms you pick so you don't cut off your own pathway through the house.
Like it's a little Tetris-y as well.
Yeah. And if you do that, the doors are just boarded up in that room. And you just can't get through because you've blocked them with a different room.
Ooh. I think I might fuck with that game when we're finished recording.
Yeah, do it. It sounds a whole lot of fun. Yeah, it's good.
Shit. And like I said, Phoebe's way smarter than me. So this could help.
That's not hard.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I said way smarter, because she's like smarter. Like,
as a group game, like it would be really fun. It'd be sick in VR too. Not gonna lie. That's all I've pretty much played. I started playing It Takes Two with Hadley today.
Oh, how'd that go?
We are already up to the B section, and I think this is when we're going to come to like a grinding halt.
Oh, because it's going to hit difficulty real intensely.
Well, she has the twin stick because it's a shooter now.
Oh yeah, it's when you're in the tree, right?
Yeah. So, you know, we beat the hammer, we beat the vacuum cleaner, we beat the toolbox, now we're in the tree, and now it's going to get hard, because she's got to aim, shoot, look, jump, dash, and it's getting a bit intense for her. Oof.
That's cool, though. I'm glad you're playing it together. That's good.
Yeah, well, she's been watching YouTube videos for, like, weeks. So she was explaining to me how to beat the vacuum cleaner, like I didn't know how to do it already. She's like, just do this. I'm like, okay. I'll follow your lead. You do it. You tell me what to do.
Yeah, James does that with me constantly when we play things. I'm like, mate, I fucking finished this game 4 years ago. Shut your face. But I'll let you tell me, because you're excited. You get to feel like you're smarter than dad for a minute. And that's a pretty powerful thing when you're a kid.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's get to the section where we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation.
It's a fairly light week this week, but let's talk some rumors. As you may have heard, rumor has it that Sony is working on two new pieces of hardware. The inevitable PlayStation 6, and a new portable platform capable of natively playing your PlayStation 5 library. While the latter certainly sounds pie in the sky at first, it's actually a story with some credibility. Various well-connected individuals, including Insider Gaming's Tom Henderson and even Digital Foundry themselves, have all mentioned they've heard similar things. Writing on a forum, NeoGaf, hardware snoopster Kepler-L2, who was among the first to mention the development of the handheld, has said that the device is powerful enough to run PlayStation 5 games, just, quote, not at the same resolution or frame rate, mainly due to the lower memory bandwidth. Sony's obviously had a lot of success with the PlayStation Portal, which has seemingly emboldened its decision to make a new handheld console. Thoughts? Prayers?
Look.
Do we need a PSP in 2027?
Yes. In terms of a portable device, absolutely. In the world of... The Switch essentially solidified that it was okay to make bigger handhelds again. With, you know, there was a time where everything was getting smaller. in, you know, we had like the 3DS became 3DS Lite, and I think the new 3DS was big chunky boy, I guess. But like even the, you know, the Vita iteration 1 to 2, smaller. Like handheld was all about being smaller.
Switch- well, to be fair, Nintendo went the other way. They did 3DS, then went into the 3DS XL. Yeah. They extra large.
But the screen was the same resolution. Like it was all, it was kind of just the exact, it's a 3DS, but just made bigger, right?
Yeah.
So then when the Switch was, we just brought out the idea of like, oh, people are okay to carry around a bigger, chunkier sort of handheld device. Oh, okay, cool. Which then allowed the usher in of the Steam Deck and the ROG Ally and the whatever the fuck every other pricks make. Every, like there's little gaming portable doohickeys. Pardon me. And they're clearly popular and they're clearly selling well enough. Obviously not compared to a Switch. Hence well enough, but... There was a window of time where PlayStation were the only direct competitor to Nintendo in the handheld space. And with the reluctance to continue the supporting the PlayStation Vita, they relinquished that space to Nintendo. There was no one. The only competitor was in the mobile market, and they themselves were, as part of a race to the bottom, were just chewing each other's lunch and absolutely decimating the entire ecosystem, where now no one really ever will take phone or mobile gaming seriously. So out of all of the individuals in the space outside of Nintendo that know and understand portable gaming, it's PlayStation. Does it, the idea that it can be powerful enough to run PS5 titles, sadly what's going to be the expectation, but it'll be in the same way that a Steam Deck could play your latest releases at a highly compromised, but actually, no, I take that back, a moderately compromised experience compared to playing it on your PC. If this new PlayStation Portal can mirror that, fantastic. That would be absolutely fantastic. That would be phenomenal. It'd be a really cool thing to experience. The discussion around a PS6, though, like, I made a snarky comment in the beginning before we started recording, like, already? And you're like, yeah, dude, it's been like 5 years. And it has been 5 years, which is insane to me. And I don't know whether this is something that I'm experiencing because of my age, but I remember the time from PS4 to PS5, I know it was extended. The generation worked out to be about 8 years. I really felt the desire to switch to a PS5 from a PS4. I felt like I was ready for it. I was like, cool. I think we've seen what the PS4 can do, even with a Pro. When now, as part of the PS5 generation, yes, we have the Pro, but the idea that a PS6 could be a year away, 2 years away, doesn't seem sufficient. Although, now that I'm talking out loud, I couldn't tell you what year the Pro came out compared to when the PS5 came out. I want to say 3 to 4 years. So it seems reasonable, but also in the where things are at currently, whether it be with tariffs, production lines, cost of living, introducing a new console right now, I don't think is a good idea. However, recent times have demonstrated that people are not willing to give up some things in a cost of living crisis, and that includes your gaming consoles. In the chat, Josh jumps in and says, totally down for a new PlayStation handheld. The only concern I have is a physical game collector. How or if my physical library will translate to handheld. That is a very good point.
All they have to do is still Nintendo Sync.
Which is?
And you can game share it to your...
Yeah, like you would have to read it as a secondary console and then, yeah, game share.
Yeah.
And then it just, because you've got it on your console. See, but then how do then, how does it then verify?
No. It works like Nintendo thing where if you have your cartridge, you can loan the game to your friend and it locks it from your account, but it makes it available for a week on their account. Did you not watch the fucking Nintendo Direct?
No, because I'm a fuck, I don't want one. I didn't want to watch it because I'll be like, oh, I want one. And then buy it and not use it. So I just chose not to watch it.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, essentially, that's how it works. It locks it off there.
So how does that work if you like you have to then allocate it to your con? Just like a permissions, I guess. Oh, then when next when you say, I don't think it would be a week, but you could just go when you just go back to your console, no, you go ping, and then it. No, I'm saying if it was PlayStation, would you use it?
Oh yeah, it will. Yeah,
you'd have to just when you go back to your console, go. Are you using this on your handheld? No, boop, and then you're back in. But that is an absolutely good thing to consider. See, because I'm coming at this now. We've been very lucky. We've been doing this long enough that I haven't bought a physical game in fuck knows how long. So we're very lucky that we have access to pretty much any game code we'll ever need. Sometimes we're like, it's not easy. And then if it is, I'll just buy it digitally. I have good internet. I can't be bothered with discs and shit. I don't need that physical clutter in my life because I have physical clutter in other ways. Like the wall behind me and all the other shit I have in this house. So I'm immediately looking at this from a highly digital user. So Josh brings up a very, very good point. Because you're in the same boat. You're pretty digital at this point too.
Yeah, I've got the odd disc here and there, but yeah, I'm primarily digital. Mm. I've been primarily digital for a long time though.
Me too. Like once I got NBN, I was like, fuck all this disc-based shit. Josh also adds in the chat, the only way I can see Sony doing it is similar is to a portal. The disc will need to be in the PS5 for verification. Now, that's what I originally was thinking. However, if this
but is... But then it's shit because you've just got a streaming device again and not
exactly,
a...
Exactly, then it's not an actual portable handheld device. And then negates the whole point. The only thing you could do then would be...
Put a disc drive in it.
Yeah, put a disc drive in it and suddenly it becomes a Walkman. And fucking Walkmans are trash. Like, it was a cool concept at the time, but, like, what was that anti-skip bullshit on your Walkman that never worked? It's like, oh, you could skateboard with this. No, you couldn't. If you breathe too heavy, that fucking thing would skip. And, look, we saw what happened with the PSP, right? What kind of bullshit they had to do to make that, like, you know, not flash medium, you know? Mute asks in the chat, which is a very good question about digitals. You're not afraid of games getting delisted or disappeared in your library?
I'm going to point out that most game discs these days don't even have the full game on it anyway. Yeah. If the game's delisted, in theory, you wouldn't be able to download the rest of the files and not play it anyway.
Look, you said, I think, to me, I still think it's a valid argument, and we're seeing it become a more valid argument as time progresses. However, I think that is an argument that sits 5 years ago, right? Minimum. Because as you said, games are incomplete on discs. Fuck, half the time they're not even on the disc. An example being the Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy. Or was it... No, it was Spyro. My apologies. It was the Spyro Reignited Trilogy where only the first game was on the disc. If you wanted to play Spyro 2 or 3, it was Enter the Dragon... You had to literally have access to the internet, negating the whole point of buying a disc. And then your disc is just this authenticator that you have to get up to do. Fuck that. Right? At least for me, it's just a much simpler thing. And once again, as I mentioned, we are very lucky in the life that we live that I don't have to be in... I'm not in a position where I have to buy games physically... for the price differential.
I've also never had the urge to go back and play a game that's been delisted. Generally, it's so old that I wouldn't go back and play it anyway.
But once I think for me, the nature of what we do has me constantly looking forward. So very rarely do I get to look back and really sort of sit back in a game that may have been delisted. Probably one of the only things that I get with the PS4 that I have with my son at his place... That still has like PT on it as an example, because that's worth having. But other than that, I can't immediately think of anything that has become delisted that immediately impacts me. Outside of maybe being able to buy the PS2 versions of Grand Theft Auto, because I never bought them. And now I wish I did because the Grove Street collection was a little bit poo. But there's nothing that immediately jumps out to me, and nor do I really go back. If I were not in this position as a podcaster, games reviewer, whatever the fuck we are, I would imagine it would be a more pressing issue for me. Are you in a similar space there, Max, I feel?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Josh also jumps in, and then we'll head into the next point. They've jumped in and said, being a vast majority of PS sales are digital, I imagine this handheld won't have any elegant solutions for physical games. I bet I will be forced to have the disc in the console to verify a digital key for the handheld. Yeah, maybe it's one of those things where it would trigger the license and then say for 30 days, it counts. On the presumption of license, you know, of shared between your current and whichever, right? Or you pay like they probably pay like $5 or some bullshit. I'm trying to think, yeah.
Well, in theory, you would log in using the same PSN ID.
Mm, absolutely.
It would be linked regardless. Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, an example, like your work password. Every 30 days, you got to reset it. If you work in an office, you don't, you're fine. Same thing. Every 30 days, it goes, hey, you need to ping these physical versions of your games. Like, oh, okay. Boop. That could work.
You got to come in and plug it into the PlayStation, let it kiss for a second. And
yeah, he's going. Or maybe it's got to be like, you know, it's got to be in proximity of your PlayStation. Like when it identifies it's on the same IP address, it goes ping and it's all good again.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe that. Let's get into the next bit of news. Max, this is Bungie-related stuff. Bungie's a busy studio these days, isn't it? Having just handed us a full reveal of Marathon, the developer is now looking ahead to a bigger Destiny 2 event that's happening next month. We don't have much information to go on right at this moment, but we do know that the ongoing shooter's next expansion is called The Edge of Fate, and it'll be the centerpiece of the game's immediate future. The digital event, which will also cover, quote, upcoming content for the next year, end quote, of Destiny 2, takes place in just a few weeks on the 6th of May. It's fair to say that Destiny 2 is very difficult to keep up with if you're not already embedded within its ecosystem. It's easy to forget that the original release dropped in 2017, and between numerous expansions and countless updates since, the game's grown to be incredibly dense. Max, I thought Destiny 2 was fucking done.
Yeah, me too. They had this 10-year plan. They kind of, at the back end of that story, they're kind of like, hey, the light and dark saga's finished. We're going to keep milking this cow, which is fine.
It's the Avengers formula, you know what I'm saying?
As long as it's not shit.
Which sadly
this previous season has been a fucking banger. An absolute banger. If they can keep doing this kind of stuff, they'll be fine. At least it looks better than Marathon.
Whoa!
In my opinion, Marathon looks horrible.
Do you mean like by design choice or
gameplay? I'm not here. Gameplay looks fine. Bungie know how to make a good shooter. I guarantee their extraction shooter is going to play great. It's probably going to feel really good. Might be a little fucking floaty. Being, you know, the guys behind Halo and Destiny, but the fuck me, that color scheme is atrocious.
What, the white and all that? It looks good in still images. I don't know how it's going to look in motion because I've not watched the trailer. There's that one of that dude dead in what looks like the milk and he's bleeding blue. That looks fucking sick in a single shot.
I just don't know if we need another extraction shooter.
Well, I don't think there's been one of prominence in quite a while.
Mm.
So, like, yeah. Tarkov's still around.
Probably a reason.
Yep. We lost DBZ. DMZ, sorry. DMZ?
Yeah.
But apparently that's coming back this year. Or next year. This year, whenever the fucking next Call of Duty is. And that immediately got me all boned up. But, you know, PUBG's still kicking. Yeah, but that's in the Battle Royale, really. But there's a lot of PV.
Yeah.
there's a lot more of the, you know, stuff you can take between runs compared to, say, Fortnite or whatever. So, yeah, it's got a lot of influence from that space, which is also why I enjoyed it a lot more than Fortnite. But, yeah, I like they tried, what was that Tom Clancy's one?
Well, that was the Black Zone in fucking...
Yeah, Division 2. The Division 2 had their thing. Dark Zone, whatever the fuck it was. Yeah. What was that one that you myself, and Padge played? Extraction? Extinction?
No, like, wasn't that
yellow
a...
yellow colors.
Wasn't that a fucking... And that's not Resident Evil.
That was Tom Clancy.
Yeah, it might have been Extinction.
I thought you said DBZ trade fists for guns. That would be fun. Rainbow Six. Not Tom Clancy, it was Rainbow Six. It was Rainbow Six Extraction. Or Extinction.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
This is the beauty of a live chat. Otherwise, I would have just called that game something else for the rest of this conversation.
Rainbow Six Extraction.
Extraction. So they were pretty much on the nose exactly what that was. And sadly, that did not hang about. I played it with you.
I don't think that was an extraction.
It was exactly an extraction shooter. It's the whole fucking name of it. The idea of it was meant to be Siege without shooting other folks.
No, weren't you? The extraction was you were saving targets from biohazard. No, you weren't extracting weapons to do the next run. You were just
sure
saying,
it was.
No,
yeah, the whole point of it was to get shit.
No, I disagree.
Maybe not that repeated loop, but I swear there was. But also, why am I arguing? Because guess what, Max? I don't fucking care. Would I play Marathon? I'll check it out. Is it going to be my new married two game? Nope. Would it be your married game? Probably not.
No.
But I don't think that's a lack of interest, because personally, I prefer PvE experiences or even the extraction experience. I enjoy a lot more than complete PvP, because I don't have the time to actively get better at a game, which is, I know, such a fucking weird sentence. But like the time that's required.
Yeah, you're extracting alien samples or people. You weren't extracting gear for the next run. There was an extraction, but you were extracting.
All right, well, then
things.
Fuck that game off the list, which doesn't help it at all. which only solidifies why it likely didn't do very well.
Yeah. Again, I think the gameplay and the gunplay will feel great. Like, for all its faults, as a shooter, Destiny is one of the best. Mm. But, yeah. It's also a 3v3v3v3v3v3ve. I hate these teams of three nonsense. Like,
yeah, I don't
off.
Know why three. I assume so, you can't, you can't split the team.
I have more than two friends, okay?
I don't. And then trying to get them together at the same time? Hey, doubles. Yeah. Doubles only. Yeah. Mute says my only complaint needs a better cooler name than Marathon. That's the only catch. It's actually a pre-established IP. So
yeah, correct.
Yeah, they're working off something that Bungie did many, many years ago. So it's kind of intentionally
back for Apple.
Yeah. So that's why it's got a poo name, because the name may have been poo to begin with. But you know, it's one of those things where there has been much pooer named games that we have been willing to go, all right, over time. Like Immortals Phoenix Rising. That name is fucking stupid. The game, though, really good. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'm happy to call it that, because that's its name. And it earned that. It earned my name respect. But just like The Edge of Fate, that means fucking nothing. That's a couple of words smooshed together to sound intense, but probably means nothing.
They're like corporate zing words.
It does. It does feel like the synergy of our cohort. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like, what other business terms can you put in there?
Forza 5 will make its PlayStation 5 debut later this month alongside a new mode named Horizon Realms, which will allow newcomers to experience all of the game's previously released live service content all at once. Effectively, this repurposes the past 3 years' worth of, quote, evolving world content, meaning you won't miss out on any of the time-limited stuff that's been released prior to the racer being ported to the PlayStation console. You'll be able to play these new locations in a couple of ways. Skill mode will allow you to climb the leaderboards by driving skillfully, it doesn't sound like me, or free mode will enable you to simply explore with your friends. It sounds more like me, yeah, but with less friends.
With chaos. With less friends, more chaos.
Oh, I'm so keen for this to come to our console.
Yeah, and it is one of those things. I was having a discussion with Millie the other day because she's currently playing Starfield, but through xCloud on her Xbox Series S. No, 1S. Sorry, 1S. I'm like, how the fuck is this running Starfield? That is, because it's streaming the whole time. Like, that's still kind of insane. And she's like, oh, you know, I don't know whether, you know, should I just buy an Xbox or buy a PC? I'm like, don't buy a fucking Xbox. Buy a PC, because like, what's it? Anything that's intriguing on this Xbox is going to be available on that PC or very soon that PlayStation. Which then reminded me, you know, she goes, like, what, like Halo? I'm like, yeah, it could fucking happen. It could very well happen. And when it does, that's when we know the nail. Like, the lid on the coffin is Gears, the nail is Halo. Forza is the lining of said coffin. And I'm really, really excited because the Forza Horizon games, they absolutely shit over Gran Turismo because they have that arcadey feel with the ability to be a bit more hardcore. But even then, hardcore Forza Horizon is not remotely close to the hardcore of Gran Turismo.
Yeah.
I want 3 though, because 3 was in Australia.
Australia. You could smash up the fucking Telstra phone boxes.
Yeah, I want to fuck up Telstra. I want to ride that postie van. I want to somehow get from Bondi to the Apostles in about 6 minutes. You know what I mean? Like, it sounds rad. But seriously, I'll play the fuck out of this when it comes to console, eh? Mm-hmm. Also, I totally forgot. Like, it's happened, and I was excited, and then I forgot. Age of Empires is now out now. It just happened. I know we talked about it happening, but it happened.
Like, I just... RTSs don't belong on fucking console.
I know, and I have Age of Empires on my computer. I could probably play it and have a better time on my computer. But the novelty of it being on my PlayStation Max is not, you know, it plays a very huge role in my impulse here.
Yeah.
But look, having all of, you know, the things that were delivered over a time makes sense, just like just hard dumping it. So, also hot. Secondly, if you do happen to pick up Forza Horizon 5, like, you are going to be able to play it for a quite substantial amount of time. And that's a pretty cool thing on day one. Because I presume it's going to be the full 100 and some bullshit. Excuse me while I take down some timestamps. Quick bits! Star Wars Zero Company is coming. It is is XCOM meets Star Wars, and it's coming to your PS4 next year.
No, I mean, clearly that is a time. That's
Are you sure about that? The fucking PlayStation 4 generation still gone.
Fuck off.
PS5 in 2026. Also, not the only Star Wars bit of announcement this week. We got some footage and some information around upcoming DLC for Star Wars Outlaws. And we all collectively went, oh man, that game was getting fucking DLC. That's what I said. I showed you and you went, oh my God, and said exactly the same thing.
No, that's not what happened. I went, oi, it fucking came with a season pass, you piece of shit. We all knew it was coming with fucking DLC.
That doesn't benefit my story, Max.
They charged $180 for this motherfucker. It's clearly getting more content.
Yeah. But who needs new content, Max, when you can get a pretty awesome game, Shadow Drop? So the Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion remaster I'm gonna play it so fucking bad. Has continued to have more leaks this week with some imagery, some side-by-side comparisons, and is rumored to drop today. The day at which this episode releases, that is the 22nd of the 4th. That is allegedly the day for Star Wars. For Elder Scrolls Oblivion remaster to drop. It's going to be on Game Pass. I'm going to play that shit all over again, and I'm going to get lovely nostalgia when I return to the Citadel and I find that little shack in the docks that was mine, and I put everything in that little house. I made that house my fucking dream. It's little upstairs part. Big fan. Loved it. It was awesome. I cannot fucking wait. The only thing I'm not looking forward to, Max, is weapon degradation. A real problem with Oblivion. Don't you fucking shake your head at me.
Play Mage, motherfucker.
Yeah, actually, that would help. So you're quite keen for this, clearly.
Just fucking cast some spells and shit. Yeah, look, I love Oblivion. It wasn't my first foray into Elder Scrolls games.
It was my first.
But like, I distinctively remember picking Argonian so I could just get water breathing straight away, and I'd just be like, I'm in the town now. Suck a big one. And I'd just swim through the sewers. I remember jumping up the mountain to level up my fucking acrobatics so I couldn't take fall damage. I was just, ugh.
Yeah, so for myself, I played a Dark Elf. It's one of the first times, as I said, it was my first experience with the Elder Scrolls. And I picked it because they looked cool and I liked their stats. Turns out they were immune to pretty fire resistant. And with the whole game being about Oblivion and you're going through the gates of hell, I had a distinct advantage that I was not ready for. It worked out really well for me. But I was playing it on PS3 where it ran like fucking crap. And I saw this before, like I save locked myself because I tried to escape this cave. The Minotaur was chasing me, and then I thought I'd go back through to try fight him, hoping that it would move down the thing. It didn't. It just wallops me, and that save loop continued, and I could never go back. And I was like 110 hours into the game at this point. So I've never gone back. Saying that, though, there is a random PC copy of Oblivion in my kitchen for a weird reason. And today I was like, oh yeah, shit. I was trying to explain to Phoebe how excited I am for this game remaster coming potentially this week. It's a big shadow drop. And then I had to explain what a shadow drop was. And then I had to explain why this game was cool. And then I realized that she didn't fucking care at all. So then I stopped talking about it. And I kept the excitement to myself. But very, very keen. Fair. Muse says in the chat, hey, Zelda has that and people like weapons breaking. No one fucking likes weapon breaking. It is like by far one of the shittiest mechanics that you can implement into any game. Skyrim was immediately better than Oblivion. Not in everything, but in the distinct characteristic of not having weapons break. Breath of the Wild was ruined for me because of weapon degradation. Oblivion didn't help. The amount of times I would be stuck in some fucking part of hell with a sword that apparently didn't work because it was at zero fucking health or whatever, and mind you, I could still hit someone, bludgeon someone with a fucking big hunk of metal in my hand.
Just throw fireballs.
But yes, as I said, we clearly have shared emotional experiences with Oblivion. I'm very excited to play it. Get to hear, was it Patrick Stewart as the voice of the Emperor? That'd be nice. Oh, cool. Mute's with me. He's just fucking with me, you bastard. And finally, Remedy will be showcasing its upcoming game, FBC Firebreak, in a live stream on the 24th of April. I totally forgot about this game. I saw an image the other day. I was like, FBC Firebreak? That sounds really familiar. I wonder what the fuck that was.
And then Federal Bureau of Control.
Yeah, but then I forgot to think about it, right? And I was like, oh, yeah, cool. And then it wasn't until I saw it here, it says Remedy will show. I'm like, oh, fuck, yes. This was that, like, In Control universe. Like, yeah, man, let's go. So I'm super keen for that. Should be sweet.
Well, if you're not keen for any of those games, here are some games coming in the next week. Notably, Oblivion is absent from this list. coming out tomorrow is Steel Seed, coming to PlayStation 5.
My name of my sex tape.
On the 23rd of April, we have Hexus, PS5, PS4, Once Upon a Puppet, PS5.
That was too easy. I chose not to jump on that one.
And Sunderfolk, PS5. On the 24th of April, we have Amazon, The Explorer's Legacy, PS5. Fatal Fury, City of the Wolves, PS5, PS4.
Oh, also, might I add, key sponsor to WrestleMania, Fatal Fury, City of the Wolves. In the center of the fucking WrestleMania ring was the logo for Fatal Fury. The opening match had Jey Uso come out to some guy on a fucking DJ playing bullshit Fatal Fury music.
And I was going to say, should I put in the quick bits that fucking Drew McIntyre was Doomslayer?
Oh, yeah, night two, Drew McIntyre comes out dressed as the Doomslayer and was fucking sick. Which clearly demonstrates my bias towards Fatal Fury compared to Doom.
On the 24th of April, we also have Lugia the Grimoire coming to PS4, a Nano Apostle PS5, PS4, Super Technos World PS5, PS4, and Clair Obscur Expedition 33 PS5.
That one you're all super stoked on.
Oh, I preloaded it just before the show. I'm ready. Comes out in 3 days.
Woo.
Well, actually, it's like 2 days, 18 hours at this point, but whatever. Who's counting?
Who's counting?
And on the 25th of April, we have Days Gone Remastered, which I totally forgot about.
Sorry, mute in the chat goes, was it the DJ who's a playable character? Yes, it was the DJ who's a playable character, which made no fucking sense.
We have Economics, PS5, PS4, Lost Ruins, PS5, and Two Strikes, PS5, PS4.
Days Gone Remastered, I forgot was a thing, but every time I see it on Twitter, because I follow the community manager for Ben Studio, I go, oh yeah, and then I forget again. And then, just like right now, it's like, hey, Days Gone Remastered, I'm like, yeah, and then I forgot again. So, very keen for Days Gone Remastered. Obviously, Clair Obscur is your biggie.
Oh yeah.
Ooh, very nice. Very nice. Well, that does bring us to the end of the show. Big thank you to everyone for joining us as always. I mentioned it before. Time is the most finite thing we have in this world. And for whatever reason, you have chose to spend a big hunk of that with us. Ideally, hopefully, every week. If not, even just for right now. I appreciate it.
I just need to retract and correct a statement that I made earlier. It's actually 2 days, 2 hours, and 3 minutes until it launches, not 2 hours, 18.
Thank you for clarifying.
Not 2 days, 18. Yeah.
Because I understand that would have been really painful for you to get that wrong. Because clearly you're quite excited. All right, let's get the fuck out of here.
All right, everybody. You know the drill. This PlayStation Conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist. We can watch the show live. We can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation Pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you're watching on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. I endeavor to answer a single comment. If you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturist. And as Mute in the chat says, it's new life for Days Gone hype until we forget. Lest we forget Days Gone Remastered. We hardly knew ye. And then I'll play you, and I'll be really excited all over again. Pretty good game. Felt inappropriate to say less we forget, seeing as it is Anzac Day this Friday. Oops. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players.